We're back. The Revolution with Jim and Trav is on the air with The Great Escape.
Ready? Here we go.
Now launching into a two-parter with Alan Probst, master trapper and host of North American Trapper, airing on Sportsman Channel Sundays 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Outdoor Channel, Sportsman Channel, World Fishing Network, and My Outdoor TV. This is part one.
Hey, we are back. We're talking The Great Escape on this week's show. And before the break, Lee and Tiffany Lukoski. Now, there's people you want to escape with. But our next guest, man, nothing escapes his trap.
Yeah, you can't escape Alan Probst. He is the host of North American Trapper on Sportsman Channel. That is Sundays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Mr. Alan, how's it going today, buddy?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, say, how is the trapping season going so far for you?
Pretty good. We just did... Actually, I haven't trapped a lot. I've been so busy with, you know, the business side of things through the holidays and things. But I did set in Pennsylvania and went out with my dad and kind of got my, you know, I guess my fix for a little bit when I was in PA. We did some filming. I did just take about a two-week trip to Illinois, and we did that in succession. We did day one, day two, day three, all the way up through day nine, showing our trap line as it happens. We did a lot of, you know, we showed the trials, the tribulations, the misses, the catches, the, you know, the mistakes, and the, everything. We just, every day, and it was a lot of work because I was coming back from the field, editing the footage of the day, making sure everything was in there. And we were uploading that to YouTube. We had a really good response from that. So we're going to continue to try and do more formats. I head to Arkansas in the Ozarks with Jim Spencer. Then I head down with Cuz Strickland and his grandkids in Mississippi. I head to Texas. I get to Missouri. And then I finish off in South Dakota. So I'll see my own bed in early April.
Oh, wow. Now, it was really interesting watching your series where you're talking about trapping hay bales, because anyone out in the country sees round bales everywhere. And farmers and ranchers, they love to get rid of these critters because they're a nuisance. They ruin the hay. They kill chickens. They kill ground nesting birds. They wreak havoc on deer. But how you set up in these round bales, I thought was so fascinating. You're getting those little nest raiders out of there, and you're also trapping coyotes. That was really informative, man.
Yeah, I love, it's not just hay bales, it's kind of anything. I call it a focal point.
Yeah.
If it catches, you know, if it catches your eye, if you're driving under 4x4 and you're riding down a two track or something and it catches your eye, it's going to catch every predator's eye or any other critter running through the area too. So, you know, the hay bales out in the middle of the field, or if they're lined up, it doesn't matter. Those hay bales are perfect for your raccoons, possum, skunks to get in there, get some cover, get some warmth. Have some protection. You know, they're protected on all three sides, left, right, and above. So they're going to really hang around those a lot of times. And if you have those hay bales in the field and they're there for any amount of time, you're going to be able to see all the coonscat and everything else on top of them. So that, and you know, there's a lot of fields where that one lone oak sits out in the middle, or, you know, a big elm, or wherever you're at in the country, whatever trees you have. If that catches your eye, that's going to be a stop for pretty much every predator. So you kind of want to focus those areas. And that's kind of, you know, what we try and teach people is to just kind of be on location. And that's two specific locations that you're going to have some continued animal traffic.
Yeah. Now, which animal that you trap did you find the most intelligent and the most difficult to get?
You know, they're all pretty difficult to get if you educate them. If you don't catch them the first time around and you miss them, you know, they get educated pretty quick, especially coyotes and canines and things like that. But I would say, you know, I've been traveling over, you know, 45 years. I caught my first muskrat when I was 7. I caught the fever at 7 years old. My dad, my grandfather, my cousins, my uncles, everybody, our whole family was a trapper. You know, back in the 70s, a trapper was looked at as a higher status in the community because, you know, he's a trapper. You know, he knows about the outdoors, and, you know, it's almost 180 degrees now from the PETA and Humane Society, you know, making everybody think we're heathens when we're really not. We're true conservationists at heart.
Yeah.
But I would say in all my years, an educated beaver or the last muskrat in a colony are probably too hard to catch.
Now, you preach patience, okay? And mm-hmm. you always say you need to let your sets marinate. Do you think is one thing that people screw up on all the time? They go in there, they freshen their own scent, they freshen up their sets when they should really just stay the hell out of there and let it settle down and, as you say, marinate, right?
You hit the nail on the head right there. You know, I preach, there's really only three things that you really need to do to be a successful predator trapper. I mean, I can take a 12-year-old kid out. If he's got the strength to set the traps and he listens and he makes the sets, there's really only three things that matter being successful. One is you can't catch what's not there. So you have to have a population of catch. So first and foremost, if you put a coyote set where there's no coyotes, you're not going to catch any coyotes. So that's number one. Number two is bed your trap properly. And when I mean bed your trap, there's no wiggle, no wobble. You can step anywhere on that pan or that trap besides the pan and it's not going to move. Because if a canine comes in there and steps on a lever, a jaw, and the other side of the trap goes up or moves or wiggles, they're going to back off. You created a digger. Now he's going to dig your traps out and he's educated. He's going to be harder to get now. And then three is a combination. It's hard work. Obviously, the more sets you put in the ground, better chances you're going to have being more successful. But with your sets, you got to be patient. And think of it this way. If, you know, you're apprehensive about something and you go back to something that you were apprehensive about a day later. Now, if nothing's changed, you're going to be a little less apprehensive about it. You're going to maybe go and do, and I don't even have a really good analogy of what you're doing as a human, but think of it as an animal. If a coyote comes in and, you know, smells every scent there in layers and, you know, he doesn't want to work it, but he knows it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see a track on the back of the set in the dirt or whatever, and he didn't work the set, but you know he was there, the worst thing you can do is put in more lure, more bait, another different lure, because when he comes back, he's going to know every scent that was there. And when he comes back, that smell that was there is going to have dissipated a little bit. Your human scent's going to dissipate a little bit. Your scent's going to dissipate a little bit. So if he comes back and now there's a new lure or there's more lure and it's more enhanced, he's just not going to work the set. So if you let that marinate, like I say, and he comes back, he might not work it the next time he comes back 2 days later. But if you let it just sit there and do its job because you have faith in the bedding of the trap that you did and you have faith in your location, he will work it. The curiosity will get him and you will get an opportunity out of him. So, yes, I think patience is probably, along with not bedding your trap properly, the two main, if not, you know, 95% of the mistakes that new trappers and even some trappers, I mean, even myself, I catch myself second guess, maybe I need to, you know, redo that. No, just stay away and let it work for you.
You bet. Hey, we got to take a break. Can you stick around, Alan?
Absolutely.
Good. Hey, we've been talking with Alan Probst, and of course, he's the host of North American Trapper. It airs on Sportsman's Channels.
Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern
Time. That's the time.
And this has been presented by Outdoor Channel, Sportsman Channel, World Fishing Network, and My Outdoor TV. And don't forget, on Saturday evenings, there is a three-hour block. It is awesome, of North American Trapper. Before we get to a break, Mr. Allen, to learn more about you, everything you do, it's really interesting. We're going to get into that after the break. Where can we find you online?
Online, just our website's our name, NorthAmericanTrapper.com. That's our name on Facebook, / North American Trapper. And then on YouTube, if you just go into YouTube, search North American Trapper, you'll see our logo pop up, and that's our channel.
You bet. More Alan Probst right after this.
Recently, we asked if you thought we'd been really awesome these past few months.
You guys have been really awesome these last few months.
And you agreed. So for even more awesome, check out jimandtrav.com and stay tuned because the super duper awesome show will continue right after these short messages.